Father, we thank you for the chance to assemble together in your Son's name. And as we sing such great songs as that, help us to all the songs and all that's done today to keep our minds and hearts on you. Give us the magic words to say to us that move our hearts that we're closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stay right where we are. And we're going to
I'll try to get to you after the service. there were two errors that I found. One I found before I brought them here, and one I just found out about. Brother Clark, I hope you won't mind if I get everybody to correct this. His phone number, the last four digits, it's supposed to be, instead of a six in that number at the end of it, it's supposed to be a zero. All right? So he just told me this morning that I need to correct that. So I first will do that. Correct that and make that a zero instead of a six. All right. And then one other thing, and this is very important. We purposely have not kept any extras that we have out and about so anybody can find them. Okay? So any old lists that we have should be disposed of in a proper manner. And if you would like, Kathy has volunteered to shred them. So if you want to bring any old lists with you and hand them to her, she'll be glad to get rid of those. Those names and addresses and phone numbers are personal and private. Okay? So we don't want those distributed to unauthorized people. That's for businesses. Okay? That's not a good thing. So any old lists need to be disposed of properly. And Kathy will shred them if you so desire. So you can bring them here to our services and we'll take care of that. Okay? So that's very important. Okay. I think that's the major announcements. Any other announcements that I'm missing? I don't think so. Jim, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the one last thing that we'll do before we go to our next song is Ephesians chapter 6. We just started this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be starting the passage on the armor of God. So we're starting in chapter 6, verse 10. For the rest of the verses, we're going to do one verse at a time. But to start here, we're going to do verses 10 and 11 together. All right? And we'll spend at least 2 or 3 weeks on this so you have a chance to learn. Okay? Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Let's say it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Alright, very good. Let's take our books again. 420. Thank you.
you come outside, play with me a while. We'll ride bikes or throw the ball, he says with a great big smile. Standing in the shadow of his daddy that he loves so much, he's watching everything his daddy does. For he's my shadow, he goes everywhere I go, he does everything I do. He says, Dad, I wanna be just like you. But if I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will he be. Many years have come and gone since he left our home, and now there's only memories of him now that he is gone. But in the shadow of my son, there stands another little one, and now he's casting shadows of his own. For he's my shadow, he goes everywhere I go, he does everything I do. He says, Dad, I wanna be just like you. But if I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will he be. But if I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will he be. For he's my shadow.
So obviously Father's Day comes along that I don't get to say Happy Father's Day to my dad. At least he can't hear me. Unless he's looking down, then maybe he can hear me. I don't know. I sang this song 2-3 years ago on Father's Day, and it didn't have the same meaning as it does today. And this is one of the hats that my dad always wore, and it's fitting, it goes along with this song. So I'm going to wear this hat. He had a bigger head than I do. I'll wear this hat while I sing this song. This isn't a gospel song, but this is a go-along with Father's Day song. An old Chet Atkins song. He'd always start off the song by saying, you know, every time I look in the mirror, I see my dad. And I think that's why this song means so much to me. When I was young, my dad would say, come on, son, let's go out and play. Sometimes it seems like yesterday. Then I'd climb up the closet shelf when I was all by myself, grab his hat and fix the brim, pretending I was him. No matter how hard I try, no matter how many years go by, no matter how many tears I cry, I still can't say goodbye.
He always took care of Mom and me. We did most things as a family. He always had some time for me. Wind blows through the trees. Street lights, they still shine bright. Moon still looks the same, but I miss my dad tonight. I walked by a Salvation Army store, saw a hat like my daddy wore. Tried it on as I walked in, still trying to be like him. No matter how hard I try, I still can't say goodbye.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to see everybody. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers today. And thank the Lord for the fact that if you know that your father, if he's not here and you know he was saved when he passed away, you know where he is. Amen. There's a lot of people who get saved and they just don't know if their father was saved or not, you know, when their father passed from this life. And we can only hope so. We can only hope so. Amen. But thank God for those who know that their father was saved if they've gone on before. Amen. Well, this morning I want to try to preach a little bit. I've been told that this microphone is going to self-destruct in about 15 minutes if I don't get done. So my wife's not with us this morning. She had to, she went to her father's church this morning, and the Lord willing, after church, we're going to get together. And so she had to stay home and take care of the ham that she's working on. And so with that in mind, we're going to quickly get through this, and I got to get home. Amen. I may get a ticket on my way home, but that's okay. Amen. I'm teasing. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to 1 John chapter number 2. Some messages that I try to preach are like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like soup in my head and in my heart. And you say, what do you mean by soup? It's not all together, but it's in there. You know what I mean? It's just, soup is like, just throw it in there. It's in there somewhere. And there's a message that I've had for a couple years that I don't feel like I got it down yet, you know, to be able to convey it the way that I'd like to. And sometimes, you know, I don't like to preach it if I don't have it like I like to have it, but I just feel this morning that I'm just going to put it out there, amen? I'm going to throw it out there and see what happens. There's games people play. One of them I think is called Pictionary. Anybody hear Pictionary? Okay, everybody heard of Pictionary. If I'm not mistaken, a person has to try to draw something, and you have to try to figure out what he's trying to draw. Is that correct? Now, some people are artists. I mean, they can get up there and, I mean, they can make that thing so one, and you're like, oh, yeah, I got. Some are just like, they don't know where to begin. You're like, is it a tree? No, it's not a tree. It's a house. You know, or something like that. You're like, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Amen. Now, sometimes preachers get up and we try our best to paint the picture of what we're trying to say. Most of the time, people can get it even if it don't look that great. You say, what am I saying? I might preach a message that don't look all that great, but I think you might be able to get it. Amen. We're talking about Father's Day, so I'm trying to stick with the theme, if you will. Fathers, and I want to talk to you a little bit from 1 John chapter number 2. I want to look at verse number 12 to 14. I want to read the text, and then I want to just give you a couple thoughts this morning. I don't think I'm going to keep you that long. Everybody's got somewhere to go and something to eat. I mean, somebody to see, right? And so we're going to do it for that reason, right? 1 John chapter number 2. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 12. John said this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, many believe that I've studied this. Many believe the statement, little children, in this verse is a reference to everybody that's saved. All of the audience that he's speaking to, every one of them that are saved. By the way, if you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen. And so, by the way, he says, basically, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And by the way, that's the name Jesus. Amen. It's because of him that we're saved. It's because of him that we're forgiven. Amen. His name's sake, right? Matthew 1:21, you'll remember the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You remember Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God you and I are saved because of Jesus, amen, and forgiven. Now look at verse number 13 and 14, if you will, please. He said this, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, in this verse, you'll just simply note it that John the Apostle is writing to the church, but he's specifically saying, I speak this to you, fathers. I speak this to you, young men. I speak this to you, he says in verse number 13, you little children. And by the way, little children in this verse, they say, is different than the one in the other verse. This is referring to young. And I personally believe it's speaking to the young in Christ, if you will. Now, he reiterates some things again in verse number 14, speaking to these different groups. Verse number 14, he said, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. By the way, he said the same thing in verse 33, didn't change anything about fathers. You know him. He says in verse number 14, I have written unto you, young men. And now he's going to add some things. Because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse number, well, we don't want to get in verse number 15. I want to cut it right there. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning about this. Fathers of our faith. Fathers of our faith. Let me say this. The faith of our fathers, and by the way, you've heard that term before, haven't you? The faith of our fathers, right? The faith of our fathers can be thought of in two ways when you think of it from a biblical perspective. We could look at the thought of how they believed. If you want to see the faith of your fathers in reference to how they believed, you could read Hebrews chapter 11. Is that correct? You could look up, and I'm talking about the faith of our fathers. I'm talking about going back. We are Judeo-Christians, amen? When we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we can look at the faith of our forefathers, if you will. Abraham is not only the father of the Jews according to the flesh, but he's a father of you and I that also walk in the steps of his faith. Amen. We believe like he believed. That's how we get saved, by the way. When we think of the faith of our fathers, we can focus on how they believed. And by the way, that's not what I want to do this morning. I want to But also, here's another thought, too. And not only do we look at the faith of our fathers in reference to how they believed, but we also look at the faith of our fathers and what they believed. If you'll turn with me for a moment to the book of Jude. Now, you're right in the neighborhood if you're in 1 John. Just go forward just a little bit and you'll get to the book of Jude. See, the faith of our fathers refers to how they believed in one aspect of it. And thank God we can look into the Word of God and we can see how many of believers believed and how they overcame and how they had good testimonies because of their faith. Amen. But I will say this for a moment. Hopefully, we don't have to only go back to the Bible to note how our forefathers believed. Amen. Hopefully, you've had a father or a grandfather who were good believers. Amen. And lived for the Lord. But not only is the faith of our fathers a reference to how they believed, but it's also a reference to what they believed. What is the faith of our fathers? What did they believe? Verse number 3 of Jude, if you'll note with me, please. Jude, verse number 3. Beloved, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for what? The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith in that verse is this, the body of truth. Once and for all delivered unto the saints. This book right here. If you want to know what your spiritual forefathers believed, you got to get into this book right here. This is what they believed. Amen. And with that in mind, let me make a statement. We have the faith of our forefathers. Right here. We have the faith of our forefathers. We don't need the faith of our forefathers no more, if you will. What we need is this. We need more fathers of our faith. I'm talking about presently. We should not have to say, well, look back in history. Let's look back at those good Christians to figure out how we ought to live and how we ought to serve the Lord and so on. Amen. We ought to have individuals who we can presently say, hey, there's a father of our faith. Amen. There's somebody who's living for the Lord the way that we ought to live for the Lord. Amen. I want you to notice something. If you go back with me to our main text in 1 John chapter number 2. Faith of our fathers. We have it right here. We know what to believe right here. What we need is more fathers of our faith. Amen. When we think of this, I want you to note about this text. There should be, by the way, 3 levels of believers in the church. In the church, there should be 3 levels of believers. See, I believe that in the text that we read, when he focused on children and then young men and then fathers, he's focusing on 3 different levels of believers within the church. And there ought to be that process in the church, if you will. Why? The church is a family. Amen? And in the family, there are children, there are youth, and there are what? Fathers, if you will. Amen? And in the church family, in the house of God, there ought to be children, those who get saved. There ought to be youth, those who not just get saved, but start to grow. And then there ought to be fathers, if you will. Amen? Let me take a gander, if you will. Look at chapter 2 of 1 John and look at verse number 13 again. I want you to note something about children in this verse. He says in verse number 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you know what? You know the Father. I write unto you, young, little children, because you know the Father. Listen, here's sometimes the only thing that those who just get saved know. They know God is their Father. They know they're a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In John chapter number 17 and verse number 3, it says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Amen. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes saved, they become a child of God. When they become a child of God, God becomes their Father. Amen. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse number 11 and 12, it says, he came unto his own, referring to Jesus, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you then have the authority to be a child of God. Amen? I like what 1 John chapter 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Amen? When a person gets saved, they are a child, if you will, spiritually speaking. Amen? What can we say of children in the church? And I'm not talking the little children, literally. I'm talking about those who simply are saved. Amen? They simply accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's pretty much one thing we can say: they're saved. By the way, that's where we start, isn't it? So you have children, those that are saved. Now I want you to look at the next thought. Verse number 13 again, if you would. We have also in the church not only children, those who are saved. And by the way, many churches die because they have no children in the church. Now don't get me wrong. I didn't say because they don't have a nursery. I didn't say because they don't have a Sunday school program for the little children physically. I'm talking about spiritual children. Churches die when there are no spiritual children that come in. Matter of fact, all across our land, I've seen many, many churches. They hold on to a building. There's about eight of them. They're in their 90s. They live in a different state. Matter of fact, in my area, there was one church, the First Baptist Church of Bridesburg, 100-something years old. I went there before we started the church. I walked in. There was nine people. They were in their 90s. Most of them lived in Jersey, and they drove over on Sunday morning for church because it was their family heritage. And we went there and we said, you know, we're interested in trying to start something in this community. We wanted to see maybe if they were interested in something happening too, because they're pretty much dying. And they really didn't want anything to do with it. So we started a church around the corner from them, which is the largest, you know, non-Catholic church in the community there. Amen? So what happened? You got a bunch of people, actually not a bunch of people, you got a handful of people who are holding on to a building and holding on to something, but there's nobody getting saved. There's no new blood. There's no children in there. Amen? By the way, this repeats itself over and over and over again. Went to one church trying to look at their building. I think it might have been a Presbyterian church. I figured, let me go there and during their morning service and try to talk to them because they had a building they were looking to sell. I went in there. Again, there was about nine people. All of them were old people. And they're sitting in there. And I'll tell you, I don't know if one of them came up and shook my hand. I'm a new person just walking in. And they pretty much made me feel like, what are you doing here? When you got people that are basically 10 people clustered together, they really don't want nobody else in their circle. Your church is going to die. And by the way, that died. They sold it to a Pentecostal church. And the other church died. And a friend of mine bought the building because he's buying up properties in the neighborhood there. What I'm saying is churches need to make sure they have children there. What does that mean? People get saved. Amen. Visitors come out because somebody maybe, in fact, we had visitors coming out because somebody at a bus, one of the members here at a bus stop, gave somebody a gospel tract and they came out to visit. Amen. And it just happens like that. Amen. There needs to be children in the church. And then we also need to have youth in the church. There is youth in the church. Look at verse number 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. Here's what he says about the youth. I write unto you, young men. And he says young men, but I'll say youth, okay? Because this includes young men and ladies, amen? Young men, because you have overcome the wicked one, he says. And look, skip down to verse number 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you know him, have known him from the beginning. He says again, I've written unto you, young men, he goes on to say, because you're strong. The word of God abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked one. Let me tell you the difference between the children and the young men. Ready? The children, they're basically saved. Here's some of the descriptions of the young men. They obviously are saved as well, right? But then they're scriptural. He says here, the word of God abideth in you. They're saved, they're scriptural. Here's another thing, they're strong. He says, you are strong, he says in the verses we read. And then another thing, get this, they're successful in battle. You have overcome the wicked one. Why are they scriptural and why are they strong and why are they successful? Here it is. The word of God is in them. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, we're talking about the armor of God. That's the new memory verses. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. By the way, I believe every part of the armor is connected to the word of God. Every part of it. You're girded about with the truth. You have the truth, amen. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You share the truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness, which I believe is that you're doing the truth. I believe that's a practical righteousness, not a positional righteousness. He says you have the helmet of salvation. You believe the truth. And then you have the sword of the spirit. You use the truth. See, young men are those that are scripture-filled, and because they're scripture-filled, they're strong spiritually speaking. And because they're strong spiritually speaking, they win the victories over the devil. By the way, why is it that he emphasizes on the youth winning the victory over the devil? Can I tell you who the prime target is for the devil today? Youth. The glory of young men is their what? Strength. See, children, they're not strong enough to be working and warring, you know, if you will, because they got to grow to that point. Did I mention it here? Or no, I mentioned it the last place that I preached. It's amazing how children want to help you when they're so young and can't. Talk about Father's Day. Oh, Daddy, I want to help you with it. I want to help. Look, you're getting in the way. I mean, I don't know how to tell this to you. Like, you can't do this. It's a 50-pound bag of cement. Step aside. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden they become teenagers and they're big and strong and healthy. And they say, oh, hold on, let me help you. Let me get out of your way while you carry the trash through. That's how it is. They're young. They're children. They want to do everything. They can't. By the way, that's one of the reasons that not a novice to be put into ministry. You see, there are some people who want to get involved, but they don't really have what it takes to get involved. Not because, listen, when you get involved, somebody said this, when you start to step up and serve the Lord, new levels, new devils. And there are children who just get saved and they say, I want to do this and I want to do that. And listen, it's wonderful. They got their zeal and everything, but they got to start out somewhere where they're not necessarily going to go try to fight with the devil right away in tremendous areas. Amen. So these young ones, these scripture-filled ones, these strong ones, these victorious ones, they're the youth, and they are the prime target. Listen, prime time. They have the strength, they have the energy, they could do something for God. How many times do you see, and it's not always, and you may have seen this, how many times do you see somebody in their 80s all fired up about doing something for God? Can I get a witness on that one? They're the prime target for the devil. Here it is. You can use that youthful strength to do right and live for God and make a difference, or the devil can get you to use that youthful strength to waste it in this world on the wrong things. Amen? Prime target, prime time, no doubt about it. By the way, let me throw this in here for those that have a mind of scripture. 1 John 2:15, you know what it says? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's coming on the heels of verse 14, which is focusing on the young men. What did Paul say to Timothy? Flee youthful lust. You see children, to them, the opposite sex, they're yucky. They're yucky. But when you become youthful, they're no longer yucky. Can I get a witness on that one? And the devil knows their prime time to use God-given desires in a God-forbidden way. Amen? The church should have children in there, people who just get saved. The church should have youth in there, people who are scripture-filled and strong and battling the devil. Amen? Winning victories. They're saved, they're strong, they're scriptural, they're successful in battle. They're able to do like the Lord Jesus did in Matthew 4. They're able to take the word of God, combat the devil, and win victory. Amen? That's what they're able to do. They are scripture filled. They let the word of Christ dwell in them, what? Richly. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 again. So in the church, there's children, and then there's young men or youthful, young, the young, if you will. But then there's also what? Fathers. Look at verse number 13 and 14. I write unto you what? Fathers. Here's what he says about them. Because you have known him. He says the same thing at verse 14. He doesn't change anything. Listen, here's the implication. Remember we said about youth? It's implied they already have what the children have. They're saved. In my opinion, these fathers already have what the children have. They already have what the youth have. They're already saved. They're already strong. They're already scriptural. They're successful in battle. But here's one thing the fathers are that we don't read about the youth. They are stable. Stable. What do you mean by stable? Here it is. Mature. Mature. Spiritually mature. Watch this. Here's some definitions of stable from just a dictionary. Firm, solid, steady, secure, fixed, anchored, immovable, not likely to give up or overturn. Let me tell you something about some of the churches in this world today. They're nurseries. Spiritual nurseries. The children are running everything. That's not a good situation. Hey, if you have a bunch of kids in a nursery and it's unattended, that is not good. If there's no fathers or mothers in there, it's not good, is it? And that's what we have in our day and age. Can I give you a Bible term for the word stable? Ready? You want to hear it? Pillar. Pillar. You see, that's exactly what fathers are in the church house. They're pillars of the church. What is a pillar? And I'm not talking about a pillar that you lay your head down on. That's Southern, amen? Some of you get that, amen? A pillar is, listen, a support for a structure. Churches cannot stand. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, but the church needs pillars to hold it up. And the fathers in the church are not the newly saved. They're not the youth. They are the ones that have been through all of that. And they are the steady, firm ones that are helping to hold the thing up. They're mature. Amen. And that's what we need. We have the faith of our fathers right here. We need more fathers of our faith. We need more men and women. And by the way, when I use the term fathers, we're talking about adults, men and women. Amen. No doubt about that, right? Galatians 2:9, don't turn there. Remember, Paul said that James and Cephas and so on were pillars. Pillars. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. You take away the pillars from a building and it falls. Amen? The church needs pillars. Fathers, mothers, listen, examples. Amen? Examples. We shouldn't have to always only go back to the Bible for good examples of Christian living. Amen? We ought to have some living examples among us. Where do we say turn to? Because I forgot. All right, see, I told you it was soup. But it's okay to get a bowl of soup once in a while. Throw in some crackers, amen. Though I like bread and butter. But nonetheless, let's move on. Look at Titus chapter number 2. Look what he says. And by the way, let me say this about the book of Titus. The Cretan people, bad church. Kind of reminds me of a church in my city, you know. Bad church, bad people. What do they need? They need good examples. They need some pillars in that church to help stabilize it and make it what it ought to be. Amen. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Notice what Paul said to Titus. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Verse number 2. That the aged men, that's the fathers right there, be sober, grave, sincere, if you will, and serious, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, if your church is going to be strong, if your church is going to be stable, the older men need to be men. And then he says in verse number 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient, so on and so on. What is he saying in the book of Titus? Listen, the church needs good fathers and yea, may I say, good mothers. Amen. good leaders, good examples. We have the faith of our fathers right here. We need more fathers of our faith. Let me make some statements in conclusion. We all start, by the way, we all start out as children. Simply trusting Christ as our Savior, right? But we must not stop there. Here's the scriptural mandate. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Children who get saved is wonderful, but they can't stay children. And you got to grow. You got to grow. How do you grow spiritually? How do you go from just being a child to becoming youth, to becoming fathers? Here's how you do it. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have a baby and don't feed it, it's going to die off. You have a baby and you feed it good milk, it's going to grow and become a young, healthy young man. And if it keeps on feeding on the word of God, that milk will turn into meat, and that meat will make that young man a strong father. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. We all start as children, but we have to make sure we don't stay there. We have to make sure we don't stay there. By the way, that's why when people just get saved and come into the church, we all got to try to help feed them. Little here, little there. Amen? I'm afraid that many children get aborted after they get saved because nobody helps them. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would, please. And I want you to note with me. By the way, that's what the church is all about. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. By the way, that's why God gave church leadership, verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that's maturity or growth, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's verse 14 say? That we henceforth be no more what? See that? God gave the leadership of the church that the leadership might feed the church the word of God, and through the preaching of the word of God might help these children not to be children anymore. Amen. Grow, amen? That's what happens. You get saved, you grow, you start to become scripture filled, you start to battle the devil in a greater way, you win the victory, you go through the process of all of that, you gain all of that experience, you become a strong, solid pillar in that church, helping to keep it a good foundation. Amen? Good foundation. The normal growth of a believer, children, youth, fathers. Beware that we don't let sin, and I put it in parentheses, self, hinder our growth. Amen. Sometimes not only does it hinder our growth, it actually takes us back. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, listen, I wanted to speak unto you, but I could not because you are babes in Christ. I had milk I wanted to give you, but your condition, your spiritual condition, your carnal, you're bickering, you're fighting one another, your condition, you are a baby in Christ. I could not give you the meat that I wanted to give you. I had to simply give you milk. We got to be careful we don't hinder our growth by our immaturity and carnality. Amen. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to chapter 6, verse number 1, he said, listen, to these people, you ought to be teachers by now, but you need one to teach you again the first principles. Yeah, taking your first steps again. You ought to be not just walking for the Lord, you ought to be running for the Lord. But because of your immaturity and carnality, I have to kind of go over the baby food, the Gerber stuff, right? Here's what he says to them in chapter 6, verse number 1. Let us go on unto perfection. What does that mean? Maturity, growth. Amen. May we all have the desire that Paul the Apostle had. See, I believe that when Paul first got saved, listen, I believe he had a desire to be a father in the church. A stable, a pillar, a solid one that would be a real help. You say, how do you know that? Well, what was the description of the fathers in 1 John? Simply, they know him. What did Paul say in his testimony in Philippians chapter 3? He gave his testimony about how he was first trusting all of these things to save him, and now he counts them but dung that he may win Christ. And here's what he says after giving his testimony in verse number 10. He said this, that I may know him. Know him. Amen? That's growth. By the way, let me say this. The more time we spend with him in this book, listen, the better we'll get to know him. Amen. Can I give you an illustration of that? Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to say, yeah, go ahead, brother, go ahead. You remember the woman at the well. You remember Jesus. You know, they didn't go through Samaria because of the bad people there, the half-breed. The Jews would go around. And Jesus said, no, I must needs go through. He knew he had a divine appointment to meet some woman. This woman that came at the well, remember he was at the well and this woman came and this woman said to him, or he said to this woman, you know, give me some drink. She looked at him. One of the first things she noticed about him was this. In verse number 9, she said, you're a Jew. First thing she noted, you're a Jew. We have no dealings. You remember his conversation? He started to talk. He said, look, I got water. If you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again. And she's like, wow, give me this water. I don't feel like coming back here. Give me this water. He said, well, listen, before I give you this water, he said, go get your husband. You know, before a person gets saved, they got to get lost. They got to realize they're a sinner. Go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, no, you had five. You're shacking up with a man right now. You're not even married. Whoa. Before you can talk about salvation, talk about your sin. You got to understand why you need to be saved. You know what she said after that? I perceive that you're a prophet. You see, she's spending time with the Lord. Now she's getting to know him. He's not just a Jewish man. He's a prophet. And so they continue on the conversation. And by the time you get to verse number 25, he says to her, I am the Messiah that you're talking about. In verse number 29, she goes back to the city and says to the men, come see a man who told me everything I am. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah? You see, the time she spent with him, she said, oh, first of all, I realize he's a Jew. I realize he's a prophet. Now I realize he's the Messiah. And that's how you get saved, by the way. The longer you spend with him in the book, the more he'll reveal to you, the better you'll get to know him. By the way, you know the apostles, apart from Judas, were close to the Lord. Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter number 16 one day, he said, listen, who do men say that I am? These people out here at a distance that are looking at me and looking at what, who do they say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. And by the way, that was probably because of his preaching. Some say you're Jeremiah, or Elijah, and that might have been because of his miracles. And then some say you're Jeremiah, which would have been probably because of his weeping at Lazarus's tomb or weeping over the nation of Israel, the weeping prophet. It's one thing. Those that are at distance, they can speculate to who he is. But those that are close enough to him and get to know him, they know who he is. He said this to them, who do you say that I am? Peter, being the spokesman, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. The closer you are to him, listen, the better you get to know him. Amen. And the better you get to know him, the more stable your life will be and the more benefit you'll be in the congregation. Amen. There were many disciples following Jesus, many. Do you know what the scripture says? Out of the multitudes that were following him, he chose what? 12. And you know what he did? He drew them closer. Out of the 12, there was taken what? 3. And they got even closer. We call them the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. You see, the closest to Jesus got to see Jesus in unique ways that the others did not. They saw his power in a unique way. Remember when they got to Jairus' house and the daughter was dead in there and he sent everybody out? Peter, James, and John, they went in with him and they saw his person in power. You also can remember the fact that on the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember that? That when Jesus was up on the mount, he only took Peter, James, and John, and he was transformed before them. And they saw the glorified Christ like nobody did. The closest saw his person, his real person. They saw his power, his real power. The closer they saw it. But not only that, there was one other instance, and it was called the Garden of Gethsemane. See, it's one thing to see his power in a wonderful way. It's one thing to see his person in a wonderful way. But those that are usually close are also going to feel his pain in a unique way. You see, they were called to come to him, the Garden of Gethsemane, where that atmosphere was so heavy that there was such a battle going on that the apostles, the three apostles, fell asleep because of the struggle. Amen. We have the fathers of our faith. What we need, what our church and what every other good church needs, is more fathers of our faith. More people who be what we ought to be for the sake of others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for children in the church. Yes, thank you for the children that are children because of their age, and we thank you for that. But we also thank you for children in the church, those who had just gotten saved or recently gotten saved. They're immature, but it's not because of anything they did. They're just getting in. And we thank you for that. And may they feast on the word of God and become youth. Thank you for the young people in the church, spiritually young people, those who are saved and those who are scripture filled and those who are strong and battling and winning over the devil. We thank you for them. And we thank you for the fathers in the church, those who are saved and go through all that they go through, just like the youth, but have become stable, solid people in your house, in your church, helping to hold things up and hold things together for the sake of others. Father, I thank you for the fathers of our faith, but I also realize there's a great challenge. Oh, how the devil's knocking out the children and how he's knocking out the youth. Fathers, I think, are becoming less and less in the church. Many churches are run by children, the youth, the young people. And that's why they just ain't going as strong and as steady and as scriptural as they ought to. May this church have good fathers, and may these fathers help maintain the strength and stability, spiritually speaking, of this church. Father, today I pray you'll bless the fathers, bless the gatherings of the families and the food and the festivities. Lord, keep everyone safe. Father, if it be thy will, I pray that next week, Lord, that there'll be a gathering in this place and you'll bless that gathering in a special way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we leave this morning, if you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I'm a child of God. I'm not even sure I'm saved. Preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me this morning? That's all I'll do for you. I won't hunt you out or anything else. If you'll raise your hand, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Preacher, I'm here this morning and I believe that I'm saved and I believe that I'm in that category of the youth. Pray for me not to succumb to lust and temptations, but to battle through and become a father for the sake of the church so I can be there to help support the church in the spiritual way that I need to. Preacher, that's me. I think God's speaking to my heart as a youth. Pray for me that I would hang in there and be everything God wants me to be for the sake of the church. Anybody at all? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to ask you if you're a father. We thank you for the fathers that we do have, the stable Christians that help support the church. Father, we ask that you'll hedge and bless this church in a very special way. We pray for your safety in every way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hey, listen, have a great day and a great week. Amen.